Roundtable Podcasts, underwritten by Proctors, the Capital Region's premier performing arts center featuring the best in entertainment from Broadway and around the globe. Proctors.org.
Reggie Neal, tell me about Massachusetts. How's Charlie Baker doing?
Well, I think that Governor Baker has done what Bill Weld did and Paul Cellucci before him, which made them fairly popular. He has moved this argument right to the center or between the two 45-yard lines. He's resisted new taxes, which obviously is very popular with suburban independent voters. He has suggested that there are going to be some cuts, which will be in time a very unhappy moment for some people perhaps that voted for him. And I think that for the moment, though, he has taken the social issues off the table. They're not really discussed, and he's moved to a more direct management position. And he's had a lot of challenges in the early days, not the least of which have been snow removal, but and also the MBTA issue. And I think that he's very much geared toward the winning Republican equation in Massachusetts, and that is nail down the base of the Republican Party and then draw 15% to 20% of disaffected Democrats and then win overwhelmingly with suburban independent voters. And that's where the voting, I think, history of successful Republican candidates for governor have been in Massachusetts.
Pete Seeger always saying, oh, when will they ever learn? Are the Democrats in Massachusetts capable of understanding if you don't put up strong candidates, you don't win?
Well, I think there's another part of it, and that is that the independent voter, again, that lives largely in that 495 Beltway area, which I represented for more than 20 years, they are entirely comfortable with the idea that you can vote for Bill Weld and Ted Kennedy on the same day.
Sure.
They don't see those differences that perhaps you and I would have seen in terms of the presentations of the respected candidates. They look to issues of competence. They don't like strident language, and they really want people to come back and say, well, this is what we accomplished. I mean, there are those in public life who make great speeches, and then there are those who get things done. And the skill set that many of us have often embraced is you ought to be able to pronounce what you've gotten done, as opposed to these lofty positions that perhaps ignite the base of the respective parties, but show very little in the end. And suburban independent voters really react to that equation.
When Charlie Baker comes to Washington to make his case, does he talk to Democrats as well as Republicans? Does he talk to you?
Well, we were just on the phone with him yesterday, in fact, to talk about a request that he has with FEMA and the Department of Homeland Security to see if they could be reimbursed across the state for what was a very harsh winter. And I must say the tone of the conversation was not Democratic or Republican when you're talking about snow removal. It's how to rebuild the base of finance in the state from what was distorted by a very bad winter. And he called me right after the election, and we had a very nice conversation, and he called me as the dean of the delegation. He's coming to Washington, I think, in the next month or so to talk with us. And so you'll find an opportunity to talk about Medicaid, and you'll be able to talk about Medicare in terms of reimbursement levels. And we would agree on hospitals, and we would agree on sectors of our economy that perform very well. And there would be disagreement, obviously, as you go forward. And it's as we get to know each other better, there'll be opportunities for agreement and disagreement. But I think for the moment, it's pretty clear that he is working hand in glove with the legislative leadership, and whether or not that there are going to be big disputes, that was certainly not true with Bulger, Flaherty, and Bill Weld, nor was it true with Cellucci. I think that Mitt Romney had a more hostile legislature, only because I think once he took the oath of office, he decided to run for president, and I think that the legislature discovered that they were not going to try to enhance those prospects.
Okay, so now North Adams Regional Hospital is basically closed. The folks in Pittsfield, the Berkshire Health System, has set up emergency rooms and some hospitals stuff there. There's a group of people who don't like it. They think that they have to have a full-service hospital in North Adams. That's the kind of thing that would turn a politician's hair gray as people try to suck you into that one.
Well, first of all, I think having an emergency room there is important, obviously.
Oh, it's huge.
And I think having the proximity of a really first-class medical operation like Berkshire Medical is also important. There are some hitches, as you know, in terms of requirements from the federal government and the state government. But I want to tell you, just based on my own experience, one of the problems that existed at the North Adams Hospital, and it was a very nice, and is a very nice little hospital, but I was always amazed by the stridency in the polarization of the union and management.
Mm-hmm.
And that was not a good prescription for going forward.
Yeah.
And I think that there are days when we all would like to find a path that alleviates that sort of polarized situation, but not to miss the point that if you can't find common purpose, it's very hard to sustain a formula for making sure that a hospital is successful. And I met with my first meeting, which a bit surprised me, when I was a candidate and going to the Berkshires for the first time. I recall when I met with the union and I met with management, it was done separately. And for somebody who's been around for the period of time that I have, that immediately sent my antenna up without me even having to state it on that occasion.
So tell me something. Since all politics is local, we learned from TIP years ago, there's the Cathedral High School situation in your stomping grounds. What's that about?
Well, the Cathedral High School was ravaged during the tornado. And as Cathedral High School was ravaged during that tornado, there were a series of disputes that took place, not the least of which was securing the necessary insurance reimbursement, which was eventually attained. And then there was the accompanying argument about FEMA's assistance. And we were very diligent in making sure that FEMA came to the assistance of rebuilding Cathedral High School in the East Forest Park neighborhood. What's noteworthy about that East Forest Park neighborhood, it's very middle class. It is a neighborhood that is very viable. And where it would be very hard to find any neighborhood that would be willing to take a high school today in any community. This community is suggesting that they want the school rebuilt in the neighborhood because they saw it not only as a good neighbor, but they saw it as a sort of an iconic structure in that neighborhood where many of those children went to school. So as Bishop Brzezinski confronts the reality of a dwindling population and for Catholic high schools, not the least of which also includes St. Joseph's and St. Mary's in Westfield, they're trying to figure out what a long-term strategy would be. And the bishop has announced, not myself or the mayor or anybody else, the bishop has announced that there will now be a merger between Holyoke Catholic and Cathedral High School. And the question is where to build or rebuild. And I have taken the position that the money that was sought from the federal government as a tornado-based relief really should be focused on the idea of rebuilding that neighborhood.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, it's worthy of a national news story what the people in that neighborhood have done. They've all rebuilt their homes. They stayed. They've changed the whole neighborhood. And recall that it was just ripped to shreds after the tornado. People, in some cases, lived in trailers on the site of their old home for 2 years until their homes were rebuilt. So it's a nice story, I think, about human spirit and hope and anticipation and optimism. And I thought that and think now the cathedral has always been part of that.
Has the bishop called you to lecture you on what he thinks there may be a difference between?
He actually has talked to me extensively on it, and we've had some very assertive conversations, and at the same time also some very happy conversations. Yeah. And I'm going to continue the dialogue. I think one thing that we would all agree upon here in Western Massachusetts, it's gone on too long.
It's always fun to talk to Richard Neal. Richie Neal is, as he's pointed out, the dean of his delegation in Massachusetts and one of the smartest, most articulate guys I know. So thank you, Richie, for spending all this time with us. We always
good to be with you, Alan.